This is the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, recording this at a little past 9 a.m. Eastern Time, or as my former co-worker on the original sports radio station in Tampa Bay, Scott Brantley, would say, Tampa time. On Thursday morning, following the Lightning's Game 4 victory in their series with the New Jersey Devils, I'm sure that Lightning fans are pleased. They're not content. I'm sure they wish the series was over in the form of a four-game sweep, the way, say, the Vegas Golden Knights dispatched of the Los Angeles Kings. Kings simply an inability to score or solve Marc-Andre Fleury or the forecheck or the overall intensity of the Vegas Golden Knights, which has pretty much been evident all season for Vegas. Vegas has swept their way into the division finals or conference semifinals, as you were. Lightning need one more. So I would imagine most Lightning fans are very happy. They're comfortable with the 3-1 lead with Game 5 coming up Saturday afternoon. And again, the reason why these games are being played in that afternoon window is pretty simple. The Rangers didn't make the playoffs. The Blackhawks didn't make the playoffs. The Red Wings didn't make the playoffs. The Islanders, for what it's worth, didn't make the playoffs. So in terms, the Kings are out of the playoffs. The Ducks are out of the playoffs. Speaking of sweeps, their window was closed, and it was closed before the series against San Jose. So in terms of a major market, even though New Jersey still is New Jersey, that's why NBC is putting these games on in the late afternoon window for the 3 o'clock games. That's the best explanation I can give you. Sure, they still have the Boston market, Boston, a team also that appeals to NBC. So you can expect if, in fact, it's going to be, and we'll know a little bit more. Again, I'm recording this podcast on Thursday morning before Game 4 of the Maple Leafs-Boston series. But if we get to a Boston-Tampa Bay series in the next round, you will expect that to be a featured series on NBC and get some of the better television windows. That all said, again, I think most Lightning fans are pleased. I think you have a lot to be pleased about. Whether it's, let's start from the net out. Vasilevsky's strong play, showcasing why he is a Vezina Trophy candidate with Pekka Rinne and also Hellebuyck from Winnipeg. I mean, when you just look at those three goaltenders and you see three teams capable of making a very deep Stanley Cup run, and yes, Winnipeg is very capable. That series likely between Winnipeg and Nashville in the second round is about as good as a Lightning Bruins series in the second round if the Lightning and the Bruins can ultimately get there. So Vasilevsky's play has been high in this series. I think in particular on the blue line, fair to say Braden Coburn's play has really stood out. I would go as far to say, and I was actually doing some guest hosting when Coburn was acquired by the Lightning and got him on the show immediately when he was first brought here by Steve Yzerman. I think this is the best he's ever looked, and I think there were points this season that sort of led to this where you could see it in Coburn's play, in his positioning, very few mistakes, a lot of smart decisions on the ice, and I think Coburn's play has really stood out. Obviously, up front with the all the goals from Nikita Kucherov, and we'll get to the Kucherov situation in a moment. That stands out. Certainly, Killorn's play stands out in this series, and you could certainly spotlight a few other guys, but I think if you were to name the first four that fly off the page, ultimately to me, and maybe a fifth with JT Miller, who just continues to do what you see why Steve Yzerman wanted him on this team when he acquired him and McDonough at the deadline. But I think those five stand out to me above all others. I'm sure some of you could make a case legitimately for some others, but I'm going to spotlight those particular five players. As far as Paquette, I mean, you know, every team seems to this time of year have a guy who maybe does more questionable things to that potentially hurt the team or impact the team negatively. You know, with the Capitals series, it's John Carlson. He's such a good player, but Carlson has done some things that have put the Capitals in a penalty kill situation. It's hurt them. It's why they're down 2-1 in the series to the Blue Jackets, and not a good game for Paquette in Game 4 against the Devils. Devils did get the one win. And, you know, that Game 3 win, I was sort of talking about this to multiple people the other day, even before the Lightning's Game 4 win. That was just sort of your typical first-round playoff series. Big underdog type team playing a home playoff game, finding a way on the Nason goal. Nason and Coleman have been excellent for the Devils. Really, really good. Young guys out of Plano, Texas. Granted, skating with Taylor Hall is a great position to be in, but they've been just really good. And you see the talent that they have. But Game 3 was one of those where you have the younger team that doesn't want to go quietly. They find a way to get a victory, and then there's a lot of chippiness that comes with it, sort of saying, see, this isn't going to be easy. And then the way the Lightning handled their business in Game 4 just kind of shows where the Lightning are at in being able to take the Devils best shot. Sure, they lost Game 3, but there wasn't necessarily a carryover into Game 4. You could say there was a carryover maybe in the style of play, but beyond that, I think the Lightning controlled things very well. Independent of Paquette's play, didn't see bad turnovers, not a lot of odd man rushes. There was the one breakaway of the Vasilevsky, just totally stoned. I believe that was what, early in the third period, when it was just 2-1 in favor of Tampa Bay. I think it was third period. I'm sorry if it was second period. But the Lightning took what appeared to be New Jersey's best shot. And you see this virtually every year in the playoffs. I mean, you could say Winnipeg saw it from Minnesota in Game 3. I think Minnesota's a better team than New Jersey. It doesn't necessarily mean with Bruce Boudreau behind the bench and that they have any better chance of advancing than New Jersey, regardless of the opponent. Bruce Boudreau, the Dusty Baker of the Stanley Cup playoffs. If you want to get to the playoffs, you hire Bruce Boudreau. If you want to win in the playoffs, you fire Bruce Boudreau. That's kind of the way it goes. So it's 3-1. You see why the Devils made the playoffs, although, and as we talked about here on the podcast, I don't think it was a far-fetched prediction that I made after Game 2 you would see Corey Schneider in net for Game 3. He got that win, and then he played in Game 4, and there was nothing wrong with the way he played in Game 4. And again, the Devils had been looking for a reason to put their best netminder in net, but Kincaid had just been that good. Kincaid had been one of the reasons why they even made the playoffs as the last wild card. But the Lightning ran Kincaid with their play in Game 1 and Game 2, and that opened the door for Schneider to be in there, and I would imagine Schneider will be in there again on Saturday. I don't know what the Devils have next. It might ultimately be, and especially with Cooper having last change against Hall and the fact that Coleman and Nason weren't as much of a factor in the games in Amalie Arena, suggests the Lightning have a very good opportunity, barring self-inflicted mistakes, a bad game by Vasilevsky, an untimely injury, or just an enormous performance by Taylor Hall, despite likely being out there against Braden Point's line, in Game 5. Let's talk about Kucherov. All right, Lightning fans, as a good friend of mine said to me moments after the hit on Vatanen, saying, this is one of those where if you're a Lightning fan, you see it as a, I don't want to say a clean play, but you see it as a legal play. If you're a Devils fan, you see it as a suspendable offense. So the truth is somewhere in the middle. So let me focus on the middle, whether you Lightning fans like it or not. I think the precedent was set. The first suspension of the Stanley Cup playoffs was on two-time Stanley Cup winning number two overall pick, Drew Doughty. This is the guy that if the Lightning hadn't picked Stamkos, they picked Doughty. It's worked out for Stamkos. It's worked out for Doughty. He has two cups. Stamkos still doesn't have one. Doughty was suspended for a play. Look, it's not identical, but it's similar. And Doughty sat out game two. He felt he shouldn't sit out game two. Kings fans felt he shouldn't have sat out game two. Kings fans are still mumbling about what that meant to their chances, and now they're out of the postseason altogether. Based on that one-game suspension to Drew Doughty, I would expect the league to act in a similar fashion as it relates to Kucherov in Game 5. And my friend, when he texted me, huge Lightning fan, but just looks at these things from a realistic standpoint, said, yeah, the Lightning will probably be without Kucherov in Game 5. By the time you listen to this podcast, there will probably be a decision one way or the other. I just think based on what the league did in the Doughty situation, they will probably administer similar discipline in the Kucherov situation. So that means that Stamkos and Kucherov would not be skating together in Game 5, and that would mean modest juggling of the lines for Tampa Bay if Kucherov has to sit that game out. As talented as Nikita Kucherov is, it isn't the equivalent of, the Kings have other quality defensemen, but Doughty obviously really stands out from that unit overall. And because goal scoring was at such a premium in that series, Doughty not being out there in game two was probably a bigger factor than Kucherov not being available, if that's the case, for a game five for the Lightning. The Lightning have plenty of people who can score goals on either Schneider, Kincaid, you know, even if the Devils suddenly call Enterprise Rent-A-Car and say, hey, we need Brodeur for this one game. The Lightning have plenty of firepower up front to score goals. It's not that they don't need Nikita Kucherov. They can probably get by for one game without Nikita Kucherov if that suspension is administered by the league. Again, we're recording this podcast in the 9 a.m. hour immediately following game four. By the time you listen to this, we may have a decision there. But Lightning are in a good position. You always want to be it's not unprecedented that a favored team can be up 3-1 with home games in 5 and 7 and lose a Stanley Cup playoff series, but it is rare. And based on the way this series has played out and kind of what, you know, the Devils have played the, let's put, okay, so Kincaid has been removed. They've played the Schneider card. They've had the big win at home. They weren't able to follow it up with a similar win. Now what do they have left? So I think it's a very difficult situation for New Jersey going into Game 5, especially considering this group of guys hasn't been here before, and how the 8 games prior to the start of the playoffs felt like an every week playoff or an every game playoff for the Devils. It's a very difficult spot for them. I'm not saying they have no chance to win. When you have Taylor Hall and in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you have a chance to win. But Lightning in a good position to close out the Devils in 5 games and then wait for their next opponent, which, again, as we record this podcast, Boston leads Toronto 2-1. But Toronto has game four on home ice. If Toronto can win that game four on home ice, then suddenly the series is pretty even. It's a three-game series with Boston having game five and seven at home. Toronto's talented. I just worry kind of looking back at the end of their regular season. And granted, Matthews wasn't out there for some of those games. But, you know, did they rev it up? You saw this with Minnesota. You saw this with New Jersey. I'm trying to think if there was one other example where a team just kind of revved up to win game three. I guess the Avalanche did. And that just shows, you know, a team gets on home ice. They're down 2-0 and they're like, no, we're not going quietly. But then in game four, it's another story. It could go that way tonight. I think of all the teams that went down 2-0 and then won game three, the Maple Leafs are the best of the bunch. I just don't know how their legs are. And I just don't necessarily know if they're a good matchup for Boston. Now, Boston can be their own worst enemy. Ask any Bruins fan about Boston's problems with slow starts. Getting the puck out of their own end, those could rear their ugly head, and the Leafs could get off to a fast start, get the jump, carry that right into the second period, and on we go, and dominate game four. But it looks like at this point, Boston up 2-1, Lightning up 3-1. That series that many expected, and I just said on one of the earlier podcasts, be careful, you know, predicting series, but that's where we are headed. Lightning 1 went away, Boston 2 wins away, and as we go into game 4 of Boston and Toronto. So, again, thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. We'll post another podcast. Let's see. So game 5 is Saturday. We'll get you another podcast for off game 5 since we're skipping over a day. Regardless, if the Lightning win game 5, we'll review the series. We'll look at what's in front of the Lightning at that time of that podcast. And if they happen to lose that game to New Jersey and Taylor Hall and potentially, you know, one other young, talented player, has a big game for New Jersey, and they get a game 6. We'll do a podcast between game 5 and game 6 or to close out or review that first round Lightning series. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, and we'll talk to you after game 5.